UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's American 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs that are?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And it is such. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty. Four calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Hello and welcome to the show, everyone. I hope you're all doing okay. Before we start, I want to give a shout out to Thomas, age 10, and his father, James, listening in Colchester today. And to Linz, who is a baker in the US, and this show keeps her company in those early hours. Enjoy the show, guys. We have Brian as our guest this episode, sharing his UFO sightings and some of his unusual dreams that he has been having recently. Dreams that prompted him to contact the show. Brian up next. If you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. Hello, Brian, and welcome to the show.
Hey, Nick. How's it going?
It's great, thank you. It's great to have you on with us today, and you're in Kansas City.
That's right. Yeah, Casey Moe.
Great stuff. Now, you're going to be sharing several of your experiences. Would you like to start at the very beginning for us, please, Brian?
Yeah, sure thing. So I have one sighting experience, and then I have a series of dream experiences, and then actually something that I didn't preface in my, you know, previous communications. I actually have listened to a couple episodes since I reached out to you that triggered some things, some paranormal things that happened that may or may not be related, but I really feel compelled to share those too. So I'll go in order that way, sort of like topical order, which is somewhat temporally confused, but I think I'll be able to make it make sense. So about a year ago, June of 2020, probably like, I tried to go back and figure out exactly what date it was, like, you know, a month after it happened, but I couldn't figure it out. And I lost my phone, so I didn't have, I was pretty certain I would have had some text messages that could have helped me figure out exactly when it was. But I'll put it around like late June, early July of 2020. I'm out walking my dog on a beautiful summer night. I just left my house. I'm in, you know, a relatively urban area, not at all suburban, certainly not exurban or rural. You know, my house shares a driveway with my neighbors, like, you know, fairly normal urban neighborhood. So I walk out my front door, walk across the street. I start heading north on my street. And it's probably, if it's late June, it's got to be like 8 o'clock maybe. So the sun, you know, the sun has set, but it's a beautiful evening. There's not a cloud in the sky, beautiful blue sky. And it's warm and just lovely. And I should say I put it at June because I know it was after the start of the protests here in the States. Because I'd been to a couple, you know, locally, and that I just have that temporal marker in my mind. And I think I'm not going to say that relates anyway, other than I was in a real reflective mood and I was walking my dog, just like really thinking about, you know, the state of affairs in the world and whatnot. So anyway, I cross the street, I start walking my dog, beautiful night sky. And, you know, I'm a sky watcher. So I look up due north and I see this, what looks to me like a really bright star, like really, really bright. And my first thought was like, oh, that's interesting. There's a planet like in the northern sky. You know, I didn't think of it as anything other than that. You know, it's just this really bright star. But it was like within a moment or two, I thought, well, that seems odd. Like I've never seen a planet, you know, due north in the sky at like 45 degrees, you know, and it was a bright, bright blue sky, you know, in the mid to late evening, like I said, 8 o'clock or so central time. So there were not other stars in the sky at that point, like only the brightest stars. It was the time of the evening where you only see the brightest stars. So I was kind of like, well, that seems odd, but it is a really bright star. You know, maybe it's a planet. It's kind of odd, but whatever. So I'm still walking north, just fixated on it. And, you know, it's due north ahead of me. I can walk down the sidewalk and look up at the sky and not fear that I'm going to veer into the street with my dog or, you know, into a neighbor's yard. But it didn't get very far, like maybe 30 feet before I realized, like, this is not just a planet. Like, there's something really unusual about this. It's really, really bright. And it's slightly larger than, you know, like I've seen Venus in the sky. But I'm also cognizant of there have been all kinds of times, particularly late at night, if I'm driving, you know, if we're driving into rural Kansas or, you know, central, you know, the heart of America away from the city, you can see a planet in the sky, and particularly while you're driving, and you know the light will flicker, and it seems like while you're driving, you know, the relative speed of the car can kind of play tricks on you. Things like, wow, that looks like it's moving. And then you realize, as long, you know, assuming you're not looking away from the steering wheel, you watch the planet in a dark black night sky and realize, okay, this is just a planet hanging in the sky and my eyes are playing tricks on me that it might be moving relative to my position, but it's really not. So that was also in the back of my mind as I'm looking at this planet, because I'm thinking like, okay, it's probably just a planet, you know, no big deal. But I'm walking north, due north, and I just stopped and I started looking at it. I'm like, there's something weird about this. And so I stood there for a second and I thought, okay, I'm just going to stand here and stare at it for 15 or 30 seconds. And as soon as I do that, it starts to move, like really move directly to the east. It wasn't fast. I mean, it was almost imperceptible. It certainly didn't shoot off or anything. It just started to move to the east. And it kind of moved. So if it was at 45 degrees to the horizon when I first saw it, it was starting to move east and increase its angular position to the horizon. So it was moving, let's say it was moving like 1 degree, you know, across the sky. So I could tell that it was, the angular position was increasing as it was moving. So I thought, well, this seems really strange. Like, okay, this isn't a planet. Clearly, planet is not going to move in the heavens in front of me right now. But it's not changing shape and it's still fairly bright. But I realized, like, I'm seeing something very strange. So I just keep watching it, and it just keeps moving across the sky to the east, and the angular position keeps increasing, like slowly but surely. It didn't zoom off at any point. It just kept moving east. So it's going from due north of me to north, slightly east, to more increasingly east, to northeast, to east with slightly north, moving across the circular plane, I guess you'd say. And really, there was nothing super spectacular about it. It just kept moving. Like, it just literally kept moving. And ultimately, so if the front door of my house faces due west. So I go out my house, I turn right to go north. I see the object in the sky due north. And I stand there and I stare at it and I watch it move east in the night sky. And eventually it has gone so far east that it's gone actually to the point where it's now moving south relative to my position. I've tracked this thing over my house. And I don't mean that it was like hanging over my house. I just tracked it through the night sky from due north to due east to south. It was moving. It was some object in the sky and it was moving. So you hear that story and you think, okay, well, it's not a planet, but it must have been a satellite or something. Or it must have been some kind of a flying object. Well, it definitely was not a flying object in the sense that it was not any kind of, you know, man-made terrestrial object. It always looked like a star. The whole time it looked like a star. It never had any other shape. I suppose it could have been a satellite. Like I said, I look at the sky pretty regularly, basically every day, every night. I've never seen a satellite in the sky that was so bright. I've never seen anything like that moving in the sky. I can't imagine that a satellite would start so bright that I would mistake it for a planet. I'm certainly not going to dismiss that outright as a possibility, but the other piece, the other data point to this is that as I watched it move from due north to northeast to due east to southeast, it did start to shrink. So if you can imagine that when I first saw it, I thought it was a planet. As it was moving across the sky and increasing its angular position, and it increased its angular position, you know, pretty steadily as it crossed from north to east to southeast, it shrank. The light that it was emitting diminished considerably, not suddenly, but just as it moved across the sky, it just continued to diminish and diminish and diminish. So by the time I saw it over, you know, as I'm looking at it over my own home, And I'm in the same position. Like, I basically just stood there with my dog and on the sidewalk across the street and just rotated my position, like, you know, on a pin. So by the time I lost sight of it, inevitably disappeared in the sky, you know, it basically went from something bright like a planet, maybe even brighter, to the faintest possible star, probably at that point at 70 degrees in the night sky, 75 degrees, and then ultimately became so faint that I just could not see it again or see it anymore. That's essentially what happened. Like, I just stood there with my dog for a second. And I was like, well, I don't know what I just saw. I can't readily explain what that was. I don't think it was obviously not a star, not a planet. It wasn't a plane, wasn't a drone. I can't explain what it was. And it disappeared and that was it. So I just kind of stood there and then I started basically walking my dog. I'm like, okay, well, that was interesting. And actually, I'd already been listening to this podcast and I was like, oh, I wonder if that's something that people would be interested in hearing about. So I took my dog for a walk and I came home and I told my wife, and, you know, she was like, wow, that is interesting. But, you know, as we do as human beings, life happens, and certainly I've thought about it a lot after it happened for days and weeks and whatnot, but it never felt so disturbed or compelled or, you know, inspired to really do much about it. The reason that I reached out to your podcast, Nick, as I noted in the email, is I've been having a lot of really, really vivid dreams about crafts, UFOs. And it started to occur to me that, like, I've had very, very strange dreams for a long time in my life. I'm not an avid dream journaler. I have done it sporadically, you know, through my adult life. But particularly over the last, like, I'd say within the last 3 months, I really started feeling compelled to journal. And it wasn't necessarily because of UFO dreams. It was just, I just felt compelled to pick it back up. Like, it was an itch I needed to scratch. In doing so, I started noticing that, like, I have really vivid dreams, and oftentimes they involve, like, interstellar travel of some sort. Not that I'm necessarily on a craft, but just that my spirit is just moving somewhere else in the universe. And it's kind of awesome, kind of terrifying, kind of exhilarating, always confusing. But more specifically, I started having this dream in which I would be doing something very mundane in life, like not a particularly crazy, you know, like, narrative to the dream. But I'd be outside and I'd look up and I would see, you know, we'd have like big puffy cumulus clouds, the right term for that type of cloud, in the sky. And I'll see a saucer in the sky. So I've had this base dream several times where I see the saucer in the sky, and in the dream, I'm not clear if I can say that this is a lucid dream or not a lucid dream, but in the dream, I see the saucer. I'm like, oh my God, there's a UFO. Like consciously, I'm like, oh shit, there it is. There's a UFO. Like I'm actually seeing a UFO. It's always interesting because it always starts the same way where I see the saucer, and I'll describe the saucer kind of like an Oreo cookie in the sense that it is thick. It's not like this really thin disc, you know, it's like thick in the body where, say, the creamy Oreo filling would be are lights and windows that seem to kind of rotate around the saucer. But it's not a huge saucer. I kind of think of it as like a single occupant craft, maybe. But it's all, every time I see it, the first time I see it, it's like peeking out from behind a cloud. And I say peeking, I use that term intentionally because it feels like, and it's my sense when I'm having this dream is that it's peeking out for me. It's playing hide and seek with me. And I see it and it like darts behind the cloud. And then sometimes it'll peek out or other times it'll just zoom off somewhere. Right. And I think to myself, like, oh my God, there's a UFO. Like, I know I saw it this time. And the dream will, after it peeks out, plays peekaboo, and then it zooms off. Inevitably, like, more ships will arrive. And there will be bigger ships. So if that's a single-occupant craft, there will be, like, multi-occupant crafts, orders of magnitude occupant crafts, right? They start to take up the sky. You know, it goes from, like, oh, there's a single craft, like, oh my God, there are several crafts in the sky. And, you know, the pattern of the dream is such that generally I'm, like, in the public somewhere. I'm not isolated in some rural location, but it feels like a moment where everybody's or anybody who cares about this subject, like kind of your hopeful disclosure moment where it's like all of a sudden they're in the sky, like very cinematic, and everybody on Earth is like, okay, great. Now they're here. What do we do? That's kind of the base level, like the base narrative of the dream. And I've had that a few times. And the reason I think it relates to, you know, the sighting, the mundane sighting that I just related is because I feel like, can't say this with certainty, but I feel like that dream started within the last year. So sometime around either immediately before or sometime after I had that sighting. You know, I've had that dream and I think I've jotted it down once or twice, but it never ultimately amounted to anything more than like peekaboo with this one saucer and then all of a sudden there's quite a few saucers in the sky and everybody's like, oh shit, what's going on? Well, the dream that I had that finally compelled me to reach out to you and, you know, hopefully come on the show and relate the story is I fall asleep one night and I'm having this really vivid dream about a refugee camp that I'm in that's filled with like mostly young people, late teens, early 20s. And it's at this building at my old university. And it's like a food court, but it's become like a makeshift refugee camp also. And it's nighttime and people aren't in this camp in squalor. It feels like it's just popped up, you know, like it's an ad hoc refugee camp that hasn't existed for very long. So, and I'm in it for some reason. I don't feel like I'm a refugee at that point. I just feel like for some reason there's a lot of people in this space and they're congregating. And it doesn't feel chaotic necessarily. It just feels like people are here for some reason. And I come out, and this is all part of the dream. I come out of this building and I recognize that I'm in my old college town and I know where I am in the town. And I, for some reason, I'm barefoot and I'm thinking like, I got to get home. And I come out the front door of the building. I start moving to my right, which for whatever reason in the dream was east. And I start moving. I'm barefoot and I'm like conscious, self-conscious about being barefoot. And then I, all of a sudden I stop and I realize, oh, I'm going in the exact opposite direction. I don't know what I'm thinking. Maybe I'm drunk or something. I need to go in the exact opposite direction. The reason this is important is because when I go like a half a block in the wrong direction first and I turn around, so I'm coming back by the front of the food court / refugee camp and I can tell there's a lot more commotion now. I don't really know why because I'm not thinking about anything other than like, I got to get home. I feel like in the dream, maybe I'm in college again and I'm just like, I got to get home. But so as I cross back in front of the food court refugee camp, there's more commotion. I see this guy that I know from high school that I did not go to university with. So I don't know why he's there. And we weren't like super close friends. We, you know, our social circles crossed. We were friendly to each other, but not like one of my close friends. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. What is he doing here? And he's moving in the direction that I was originally moving, but he's on the same side of the street as the food court, and I'm now across the street moving to the west, we'll say. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. What is Dan doing here? It's so odd. And as I say that, I look up, and there's the saucer in the sky, and it's peeking out from behind the cloud. And I'm like, oh, shit, this is a UFO. Like, what? This is so strange. Like, there's a UFO. Like I said, it's the same narrative. Oreo cookie-like saucer peeking out from behind a cloud. It's dark. But it's kind of one of those nights. The university town is in an urban area, so the peach, you know, street lights are kind of lighting up the clouds from the ground, and so the clouds are kind of like that gray peach, and then the sky is kind of a weird purple. There's plenty of clouds in the sky, and this saucer is peeking out from behind the cloud, and it's kind of backlighting the cumulus cloud that's in front of them. And so I'm like, okay, here we go again, the saucer. It peeks out from behind the cloud, and it goes back behind the cloud fully, and then it zooms east over this guy, this friend that I'm confused about his presence in this space. It zooms back over his head, and I'm thinking in the dream, like, I'm like, why doesn't Dan notice that this saucer just zoomed over his head? Like, he looks like he's like intentionally avoiding noticing this. And then I notice that he's running, and then I notice that, like, people are starting to really stream out of the refugee camp / food court. And it's like, not quite chaos, but it's right on the edge of chaos. And that makes me in the dream really nervous. And I start running west. I'm thinking to myself, and I confess that I've heard this on several, you know, the other stories on this podcast, of like the notion that if you see something in the sky, if you see, you know, evidence of an intelligent species, you know, or an intelligently controlled craft from another planet or solar system or galaxy, it's very likely that they know that you're seeing it because they're seeing you as well. And in the dream, I had that very vivid thought of like, oh shit, I'm exposed here. I'm running towards my house barefoot, and I've seen the saucer, and it's seen me, and everybody's starting to panic, and I'm just vulnerable here on the street as I'm running towards where I think my home is. And this is where the dream really, really gets me, because as I said earlier, the previous pattern of this dream is you get the peekaboo, single occupant saucer, you know, plays peekaboo behind the cloud, and then it zooms off. And then all of a sudden, like, there's a handful of other increasingly larger saucers, right? To the point where people are like, oh God, this is, something's happening here. In this dream, as I'm running, I'm expecting that to happen, and it starts to happen. And I'm getting increasingly apprehensive and nervous that I'm like very vulnerable in this, just on the street. And then all of a sudden I look up in the sky, and it's not like the sky has lots of saucers of various sizes. It's like the sky is a saucer. And it's hard to articulate this. It's not just a lot of saucers. It's all of the saucers. Every single possible craft that ever existed in the universe is in the sky, and they're of every imaginable size. And it's a dream, so of course, you know, if there's an infinitely sized saucer, that would take up the entire sky. But in this dream, there's an infinitely sized craft, and then there are various crafts of different sizes. They're not just saucers, just all sorts of shit in the sky. Like, to the point where, like, as soon as the dream diverges from the previous pattern, because like in the previous pattern, I have the peekaboo saucer and then like quite a few craft in the sky, and it becomes intense, and then I wake up. This time it's like peekaboo saucer, people on the ground are starting to panic. I look up, and it's just as if there is no sky, because it is just overwhelmed with everything. Like, everything is craft. There's no possible space for anything. It's like all of a sudden the earth has been domed or been encircled completely by craft. In the dream, I'm like, at this point, I'm like, I'm in trouble. And so I start getting more apprehensive about it, and I'm running. And it's funny to think about this in hindsight. Like, I'm running, and I'm thinking to myself, and this is where it starts to feel kind of lucid, because I'm thinking in very logical terms. Okay, I've never been abducted in a dream. You know, I don't think I've ever seen any extraterrestrial biological entities in a dream. So I don't expect anything to happen. And as I'm saying that to myself, I can feel my feet lifting off the ground. I'm saying, relating it to you right now, I can feel it. Like, I can feel in that dream, like this time it's happening. And I could feel myself being lifted off the ground. And it was strange because I was being lifted off the ground at an angle. It's not like there was some craft above me and I just went straight up vertically, 90 degrees from the horizon line. It's like I was running up a ladder. That's how it felt. Although I wasn't running. I mean, I was running, but I was in a tractor beam as a craft was moving. And so I'm moving, you know, relative to the horizon, I'm moving at 45 degrees up. It's almost like it's a tornado in a way, if you think, or like a vortex. Picked me up as I'm running, and instead of going directly vertically up, I'm just sort of like continuing to run in a vertical at a 45 degree angle. And in the dream, I start screaming, you know, I'm just like, oh my God, you know, and that's when I wake up. And I know that I'm waking up because I'm hearing myself audibleize that scream. I woke up and I woke my wife up and, you know, I woke up and I was like, oh, geez, Louise, that was a lot different than any of the others. And that was very real. And this is all very strange. And so she goes to the bathroom and comes back and lays down, and she can tell that I'm discombobulated. And usually she gets pretty annoyed, like, well, more than a little annoyed at me waking her up in the middle of the night, because not surprisingly, I can be kind of a restless sleeper, which is a whole other story. But God love her, I asked her if I could tell her what happened. And I confirmed with her, like, did you hear me scream something? And she said, yes. She told me that it wasn't like a loud scream, but she just heard me sort of scream out and I woke up. So I told her about the dream, and she listened very patiently, and she's very open-minded. We talk about these kinds of things a lot. And then she went back to sleep, you know, and I didn't blame her. I wanted her to sleep. But of course, I just laid there for a minute. Well, more than a minute, but I just laid there. I believe very, very earnestly in the dream world, the dreamscape, that it's more than just this mechanical process of our brains processing what's happening in our waking life. I feel that it's more than a belief. It's more of a knowing that our dream lives are actually more of our soul, our essence, breaking free from our three-dimensional experience to like catch some air, you know, and do things that need to happen in that dimension, those planes. So I'm sitting in bed after the stream, just thinking like, oh my God, that was intense. And what do I do with this and whatnot? And I hear a barred owl outside the house, which we have this big sycamore tree in our front yard. And it's not surprising to hear an owl occasionally, but it did kind of startle me. That's, you know, owls have pretty esoteric and mythological, and in 21st century with increasing prevalence of stories about interactions with off-world species and whatnot. And well, I just won't go beyond that, but owls tend to have a symbolic and or like very concrete, direct, you know, connection to that. So to me, it seemed a little too timely, too, you know, on point, but it didn't catch me that off guard. I mean, I heard it and I thought, okay, that seems like in keeping with the oddity of this dream. But the thing that really caught my attention at that moment was in the moments after I had woken up from the dream, my wife had fallen asleep, was that I'm laying there and I'm feeling fairly peaceful, but all these thoughts are processing through my head. And I'm laying there, and it's probably been, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes. My wife has been asleep for a while. And all of a sudden I hear this beeping sound off to her right, her side of the bed. And, you know, maybe 5-10 feet away from me. It's hard to place the exact location, but it sounded exactly like a medical device in a hospital, like heart rate monitor that you see in any television show or movie. But it was just one. It didn't beep several times. It just beeped this one time, clear as day. I mean, it was, I don't know, probably 3 o'clock in the morning at that point. And I just, okay, I don't know what that was. Never heard it before. I've never heard it since. It wasn't my wife's phone. It wasn't her computer. It wasn't any of my devices. None of my devices ever makes that noise. We don't have a heart monitor in the house. I can't imagine what that was or why. But I heard it and I had this thought of, this is where it gets really speculative on my part and basically apocryphal. Like, I hear that noise and all of a sudden I'm thinking to myself, that was more than a dream. Something just happened, and something or group of things or species or, you know, spiritual being is is checking up on me. And that was, the veil was parted for a second there, and I heard something attached to them.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
And I have to say that I heard some of the other anecdotes, stories that have been related on your podcast. There was one in particular where a guy was talking about how he felt like there was a time when he, well, actually it's been more than just one guy. It seems like I've heard a few times where people say they feel like sometimes when they're involved in an abduction experience, there are times when they know that something is happening. They catch the entity off guard or seemingly unawares, as if somebody was asleep at the switch on that end. And so they see more than they're supposed to see. The veil gets lifted for a second before the actors are ready, right? To me, that's what it felt like. The veil just got lifted for a second there. And I don't know what it meant. Like I said, never heard it before, never heard it since. So that's it. Two stories about the sighting, fairly mundane sighting, and then the dreams and whatnot. But there's a segue here, and I think I mentioned earlier about like some paranormal experiences. And when I heard that beeping sound in our room after the dream, it reminded me of the fact that we've had some odd things happen in this house over the last few months. And I don't want to say that that directly coincides with some of these dreams I've been having, but it is strange. I mean, there's definitely a correlation. We have a Bluetooth speaker that is portable, it's wireless, and we take it around the house for if we're going outside or on the treadmill, whatever, in the basement. Well, one night I had it, I'd been listening to something while I was in the shower, and so it was still in the bathroom when we were in bed. And like in the middle of the night, it just turned itself on. And when it turns itself on, it, you know, it has this female voice that just says, Bluetooth engaged or Bluetooth enabled, ready to pair, or something, you know, something like that. And this is at like 2 a.m, you know, and so nobody's working any devices. Thing, son's asleep, I'm asleep, my wife is asleep, dog doesn't use the devices. You know, there's no reason for that to happen. And that device in particular, that did happen a couple times. And in, not just in our bedroom either, like in other places in the house. So yeah, you could definitely say, well, something's wrong with the device. But no, the device works just fine. Like there's no reason for that thing to turn on. So there's that. But then I mentioned the barred owl for a reason also. And that's because there have been times actually since this dream, very recently, there seems to be a theme where like I've had some other, you know, extraterrestrial UFO related dreams, and that were not the same narrative of the peekaboo saucer and then, you know, sky filled with crafts. But I had this other one time where the craft was more of a rectangular, three-dimensional rectangle. And it was totally different from anything else, but it was a UFO type, you know, it was an extraterrestrial dream. And I woke up from it and it didn't scare me or startle me in any way. It was just an interesting dream. And I woke up and I hear a barred owl, like in the same tree. Like as soon as I woke up, I heard it, you know, it hooted. And all right, that's interesting. We're creating a pattern here. And I was up for a while after that, and it only hooted the one time. Like as soon as I woke up, it hooted, and I didn't hear it again. And I fell asleep, and I woke up the next morning fairly early, and I didn't hear it that whole morning. And that has happened a couple of times, not like a half dozen times or a dozen times, but it has happened a couple of times where I'll be having something, you know, some kind of a mystical experience in a dream, or, you know, a thought about something a little bit more esoteric than your normal day-to-day thoughts, and I'll hear a barred owl, and it's in our sycamore tree in the front yard, and it only hoots once, and I never hear it again. And I'm just thinking to myself, I hate to say that everything happens for a reason. I hate to attribute causality at a moment's notice, but I hear that thing, I hear something like that, or I experience something like that, and I can't help but think, this is not coincidence. There's not, that owl is out there, and that's a signal to me. I don't know what it means, other than just, I hear you, I recognize you're going through something, I'm signaling that you are on the right track, or that I'm validating that you are, something is happening to you. It's not just this mechanical process of dreaming. Okay, so those are my contemporary stories. I do want to tell one other like semi-paranormal story that I think relates, and it also relates to, you know, I know several people, particularly recently, several people have talked about how much they appreciate being able to hear other people's stories and share their own stories as a way of like having their own cathartic experience, but also believing that the more that we share our stories, the more solace, one of your recent guests was saying, that other people can have by hearing the story and recognizing pieces from the story that resonate and saying like, okay, it's not just me. Like this validates something that I've been thinking or feeling, you know, or something that I've experienced. And that, you know, I've never had anything specific in any of these stories that directly resonated for me until very recently. So I will say, I don't believe that I've ever been abducted. I don't have, aside from that mundane, you know, sighting experience from a year ago that I related earlier, I don't have any other, well, I have one other UFO sighting that just seemed like a shooting star that to me wasn't behaving like a shooting star. But it, you know, I don't have big lights in the sky. I don't have missing time. I don't have any of that stuff. I've never seen an EVE or anything like that. And I don't know of anyone in my family, extended family, nothing like that. But I do have these two paranormal experiences from when I was in high school. One of them in particular, and as soon as I relate it, I think you'll understand what I'm getting at here. But so I'm in high school, and I'm pretty sure it was late in my high school career, like junior, senior year, because I think it was after my mom passed away, which happened early in my junior year. And that's important insofar as my mental state, but also the way I perceived what happened. I was in bed, and I remember waking up and looking in my doorway, which was basically, you know, I was in the feng shui, people call it the funerary position, I guess, of your bed position, where your head is at the back wall and your feet are pointed towards the wall that the door is on. So that was the position of my bed. So I wake up and I can basically just turn my head just slightly to the left to see my door, the door to my room, you know, that opens into the hallway of a very standard, you know, square house. And it's sometime in the morning. It feels like it's, I don't remember what time of year it was, but it felt like it was early, but not too early, like maybe 5 a.m., something like that. 5:30, or maybe I'm just creating that context because I look in the doorway and I see this shadow in the doorway. And I think it was backlit by the hall light, but I can't remember. But I know that it was a shadow. It was like I could just see the shadow. And I thought to myself that it was my stepdad. And I mentioned the part about my mom passing away because in hindsight, I remember the experiences thinking like, oh, this is my stepdad coming to check on me. You know, we have a good relationship and we still do. And he's just coming in to check on me before he goes to work because he was an electrician. He would do a 7-to-3 shift. So he was always up at 5 and generally out the door by 5:30 or 6 to go on site. And that's how I remember it. Like I woke up and I see the shadow and I remember like waking up and saying like, hey, you know, are you okay? Is it, I'm everything okay? And the shadow didn't say anything to me. And I just assumed it was my stepdad. And I remember thinking like, okay, this is kind of weird. Like, why isn't he saying anything to me? And then it's like I blinked and he was gone. And I remember thinking, I must just be tired. And I wasn't scared or anything. I was kind of unnerved, but it was a, you know, high school time and strange time. So I just kind of fell back asleep. And I had this other experience, sort of similar. We had two dogs at that time in my life. And I remember one time thinking that my dog was walking into my room from the doorway. And I was excited because I was like, oh, yeah, come on, you know, come into the room, jump on the bed. You can lay with me. And then it just disappeared. Like I woke up and I was like, oh, my dog's coming in. And And because it looked like a dog, like it was looked like a four-legged creature about 2 feet off the ground, like a dog. And like I blinked and it was gone. And I was like, well, that was weird. What was that? Those are the only two like ghost stories that I have in my life. Well, so I'm listening to one of the recent podcasts, and it was one of the podcasts where, you know, split into two different stories. And the first story, I can't remember his name. Is an older guy from the States. Maybe he was from Oregon or Minnesota. I can't remember. Anyway, he was then ultimately explaining a dream experience he had where the extraterrestrials were shadow people, and that like they weren't three-dimensional, they were flat shadows. And as soon I'm listening to this while I'm running at like 2:30 in the afternoon with the dog, and I'm like, I just was like, oh shit. Because as soon as I heard that, I thought to myself, that wasn't a ghost, that was a shadow person. And it didn't scare me, it didn't do anything to me, I never saw it again. But it wasn't a ghost. I'm like kind of like chastising myself, like, you dummy, that's not a ghost. That was something else. You know, that was something else. Because it wasn't a ghost. It didn't feel like a ghost. It felt like I thought it was my stepdad standing in the doorway. And I just, maybe the reason I thought that the hall light was on was because he was backlit, because I couldn't see any features, like it was a shadow. But maybe it wasn't, the hall light wasn't on. I was just processing. My memory is filling in that gap because I didn't have, because it was a shadow and there were no features. So anyway, I hear that story. I looked that one up before we started talking so I could remember specifically which guy it was. But he says that, he relates that story, and I'm just like, oh God, that's it. That's it. Like, and it's strange because I had listened to his story the day before and found it interesting, but I was kind of distracted. And the next day I felt compelled to listen to it again. I was like, I don't know why I want to listen to this one again, but I'm going to listen to it. And I started listening to it, and I started my run, and I heard that, and I'm like, there it is. That's it. That's why I had to listen to this. And it, I mean, truly like stopped me in my tracks. And I, you know, I don't know what that means. I can't say that it's definitive proof of anything. It's not dispositive of the fact that I was visited by a shadow person, or that shadow person was an extraterrestrial entity or anything, but I was compelled to listen to that, to review that particular anecdote for that reason. So anyway, to tie this all back into a bow, like that's part of the reason I'm sharing this. Like I can't say definitively what is happening or has happened or will happen, but something's happening, and it's more than just, you know, the seemingly random mechanics of a three-dimensional experience. Like something is happening to me, to all of us as on this planet, as a species, and the more we can share with each other our experiences, the more that we can understand and contextualize and recognize ourselves as a community of people, having had an experience or not being sure or never having had an experience, the more we can all in those three groups, you know, come together and recognize that there is more in the universe than just us. And there always has been, and there always will be, and we need to get with the program, you know, the better we'll be. So that's it. That's my story. Hopefully that sequencing didn't confuse too many people.
You did great.
It's funny. Yeah, it's funny. I was nervous coming into it, but I mean, I thought about it so much. And like I said, I wish I could remember the guy's name, but when I heard that, when I re-listened to his anecdote and he mentioned that the EBEs were flat shadow people, I was like, God damn it, that's it. Like, that's why I felt compelled to listen to this again. Like, my psyche was telling me, you've got to listen to this again for a very specific reason. And as soon as I heard that, I had completely forgotten about that, you know, ghost memory, that paranormal experience memory. And that's how I've always contextualized it. Like, if I ever have a conversation about ghosts with people, I'm like, oh yeah, I have a couple experiences. I have this one where I thought, you know, I thought my stepdad was in the doorway, but he didn't say anything and just kind of disappeared. And I've always thought of it as like, that's a ghost story. And then I hear this anecdote and I'm like, nope, that wasn't a ghost. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't a ghost. It was something else. Maybe somebody else has another piece of information that'll help provide more context, but I don't know.
You know, I think we're at the stage now, not just really on the show, but you know, we're at the stage now where there is so many things going on to so many people.
Yeah.
You know, something's going on.
Yeah.
I will have some very, very nervous guests as well. And they would say to me, really, really nervous about doing this, but I just have to share it.
You know, I think I've listened to every podcast, you know, all of your episodes, and I've listened to several episodes from other podcasts. And you can tell when somebody is nervous, you know, it's more real, it's more genuine, it's more authentic. Like that, those are the kinds of stories that are so effective because they're, I mean, it's someone like me who's just like, I don't know what's happening, but I know what I experienced, and it bothers me to the point that I want to share it. I do want some validation. I want somebody to say, oh, I had a similar experience. You know, it's slightly, you know, not exactly the same, but this happened to me. And, oh, you should talk to so-and-so. Or like, oh, dude, I know exactly how you feel. I didn't have the exact same experience, but I know how you feel. I have that same feeling of self-doubt and uncertainty, but also, you know, a mixture of actual certitude, you know. And thank you so much. I would be remiss. So many people, particularly recently, have said, like, I appreciate what you're doing so much. You have such a great demeanor, you know, with your guests, just allowing people to share their stories. And I've been telling a lot of people who I think are ready to hear these kinds of things or are already, you know, are looking for this kind of connection because of their beliefs or their experiences. And like, you got to listen to this podcast because it's, you know, the stories run the gamut. The guy who runs it is just great. He's really, really does great. Really does well with his guests. So
I'm blushing.
So thank you.
You know, it's not just on air. I hear that. I get a lot of emails, people saying the same thing.
Yeah. I'm glad. And you deserve that because it's really important. It's important what you're doing, and it's very much appreciated.
And before I actually started the show, I did have a particular vision, the way I did want it. I want it to be kind of like a forum, like a community, you know, where people are comfortable about coming on. You know,
yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why I don't have, I call them the big heads, the talking heads, you know, the people on the TV, you know, on the UFO conferences. You know, this show is for people with experiences.
Yeah, you've succeeded with your vision. I mean, so far, like, it's not just the U.S., but the idea of populism, you know, like power to the people in right now in our moment in time. Like, that's how this show feels to me, this podcast. I mean, it just feels at its very best. It's just everyday people like me, like you.
Everyday people, you got it.
Yeah, this is what happened or has happened to me. Do with it what you will. Share your own story. Let's all open our minds a little bit and talk to each other.
The guests I have on, even though we don't always say what their occupation is or what their education is, but I can tell you it's a big cross-section.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
If you name it.
And that's great. I mean, that's exactly how it should be. It just adds so much credibility to the show itself and the individual speakers.
You know, I always give the option to go anonymous.
Yeah.
Because I have some very, very professional people who work in some quite higher positions. So obviously if their peers find out about, you know, what they're trying to share, then that could be, you know, that could be a problem for them. People are very candid on this show, you know, it's all about, I suppose, even liberating for a lot of people.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I can guarantee it, someone's hearing you tonight, and they're going to find similarities. They're going to find subtle details, you know, that's going to resonate with them. And in turn, they're then going to email. So it's great. It's great. It's like a big, big circle.
It is. And I know you've mentioned that before. And several of your other guests have mentioned that before. And that's how human consciousness evolves. You know, we don't do it in isolation. You know, we share our experiences. We share our stories. We bond and we move forward. We move upward.
Exactly. I mean, especially these days, you know, where people have been separated, you know, isolation is probably the best term. People have been away from their friends and family. People haven't been able to connect. So hopefully bring all that together.
Yeah.
Going back to your dreams. Now, it does seem that, you know, your very first dream, it was like just a snippet, wasn't it? Just a very short, short dream.
Yeah.
Playing peekaboo. And then the next dream evolved. It kind of feels that it's kind of hasn't concluded yet.
Yeah, don't say that. I mean, of course. That's I mean, I have to admit that like for the first 3 to 5 to 7 days after that dream, I was afraid to go back to sleep at night because you're right. I mean, it very clearly feels like a narrative that is being progressing a little at a time. And of course, the next step is to arrive in the craft and then who knows what. So, yeah, I was going to say, thankfully, it hasn't progressed yet. I haven't had that next dream, but it is what it is. It's going to happen or it's not. I'm just going to go to sleep and I'm going to try to get the best night's sleep I can. And if something happens, then just let it rip. I try not to sound too brash or arrogant about that because I've had plenty of dreams that were not, you know, explicitly extraterrestrial related that really freaked me out. Just being in weird parts of the world or being on what feel like other planets. Just weird stuff that's not really related to this, but just, you know, the idea that, like, how much control does any one person have when they dream? I suppose in that way, it's very akin to a lot of abduction stories. People basically don't have a tremendous amount of control unless they're allowed to have that control. I'm nervous about the next phase of that dream.
I hear you. It didn't actually sound like you actually were having conscious thoughts within the dream as well.
Yeah, that's how it felt to me. For sure. I hesitate to use the word lucid, but because I feel like lucidity implies that you have some kind of control within your dream. I don't know that I would describe those dreams as that, but definitely have very logical, rational, what would seem to be three-dimensional conscious experience thoughts like, there's this guy. Why is he running in that direction? Oh my God, I'm being lifted off the earth. Yeah, just strange.
That's great. Well, I really appreciate you coming on, Brian, and sharing that for us.
Yeah, thanks, Nick. It's been great. It's been really great talking to you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
No worries. You take care of yourself, all right?
Yeah, you do the same. Thank you.
That is all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter you would like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Brian for sharing tonight, and thank you for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.